Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
What up, Dynasty players in the house? It's Dynasty War Games, and we're back. I'm Jesse Schneeman, back from the Galapagos Islands, I think is what Mike. Galapagos Islands. Cruz. This is wonderful. I'm back. I'm here to talk rookies with two of my best friends in the world. The illustrious Austin Bell. How you doing tonight, Austin?
Oh, dude, I didn't know if I was going to be one of those. What's up, Jesse? Doing good, man. Excited to talk rookie ball. A little nervous to have my terrible thoughts come out of here, but I'm excited. Let's do it.
It's early on. It's early on. It's free, very raw kind of thoughts. I don't even know if I even have any negative things to say about many of these guys yet. Anyway, and yeah, okay, right on. And back is my main man, Chad Mendoza. How you doing tonight, Chad?
I am doing okay. Yeah, doing well. I'm excited to talk about these rookies. So.
I'm going to give you some advice I got from a GM of mine long, long time ago. He walked in and said, "I asked me how I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm all right. He's like, oh, what's the problem? I was like, ah, oh, lots of emails, this and that, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, okay, cool. Next time I ask you, just say I'm doing great. You're not really telling me anything by telling me how you're doing. You're representing yourself. So representing yourself is you're doing great. And then I won't worry whether I need to replace you in this job or not because you're doing great. I was like, oh, okay, doing great.
Yeah, I'd have been like, you don't want to know, don't ask.
That GM was something else, man. He was a true sociopath. He really was. He taught me how to, quote in quotes, represent myself very well in there. I furthered my career in ways I never would have understood because I'm just not a sociopath.
Yeah. Sociopaths get places, man.
Yeah, I hear you. They know how to emulate human emotions very well. All right, so we're not here to talk psychology at all. Although a little bit goes into the rookies, right? Their psychology, the psychology of the rookie draft. But right now, we're just going to try to introduce these guys. And it's going to be a little bit of what do you know, right? So we've got just sort of a master list of 23, 24 players. I don't think we'll get to all of them tonight. But we're just going to start going through them over the next few weeks. And I'm going to ask you guys what you know. And we're going to kind of discuss it back and forth. And as the discussion progresses, these guys will go through the Senior Bowl. Senior Bowl practices are this week, actually. They'll go through the Senior Bowl, the Combine. We'll get all of the draft buzz and then obviously the draft. And we'll be here through all of it and our opinions will change. I think we were pretty good last year. Like Chad, we identified some busts last year. We were off Quentin Johnston. We were off Kendre Miller, right? Mm-hmm. I know I was. I didn't think you were particularly high on any running backs last year.
I was very high on Zay Flowers, higher than everybody.
Yeah, and Tank. you nailed Tank Dell.
Oh, so. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge one. So we've got those guys coming for you this year. I do have like way down on the list, a couple guys that I'm scared of, but that's why they're way down on the list. So we'll get the blue chippers out of the way quickly, I think. Real quick, Austin, what do you know about Caleb Williams?
I mean, generational prospect since, I guess, coming out of high school and showed it his first year in college at USC. Elite out of structure. Excellent ball placement, great on the move. Since we've seen Mahomes, probably the closest prospect we've seen to him. Seems to be a good processor. He's bigger, right? Yeah, he's more solid. I don't know if he's as tall, but he's definitely more solid. Good athleticism. Uses it when he needs to. Tries to stay. The ability to pass. My biggest knock on him is, and I don't know if this is the offense or him, so we'll have to see, is I don't feel like he does well in the structure. He prefers to work out of the structure. And that's where we see the highlight plays, which is, you know, what made him so famous. So I'm curious to see him in a NFL offensive structure. That's probably my one worry, I guess is the right way to say for it. Otherwise, I mean, everything you could ask for coming out of college.
Do you think he's coachable?
I don't know. I don't know him. I don't like what I've seen in the media, but man, people, they skew stuff like that all the time. So I'm not going to try to judge that. We'll see what comes in year one, but yeah, a little bit of Justin Fields in him, likes to hold onto the ball and make a play. And we'll see where he goes, which is kind of ironic. Who's got the first pick, and see how that goes from there.
Right on. Chad, what do you think about Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, he's good. You know, good at everything. So he's good throwing the football. He's good running. He's just good. I mean, truly what it boils down to, like with that kind of player, there's not really much to say about them. They're just good.
So if he was in last year's class, where would you have had him ranked?
One, easily. Yeah.
Easily over Bryce Young, which you guys had.
Yeah.
Both you guys had as a top guy last year. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about compared to Trevor, if he was coming out in Trevor's class?
Probably have Trevor first.
Yeah, not who Trevor is now, but as a prospect.
Yeah, as a prospect. Probably have Trevor first.
For fantasy, I'll take Caleb. For real football, I'll take T-Law.
Yeah, I think Trevor is a prospect. He probably would have went first. I think. Caleb. I'm right with you, Austin. I think better for fantasy. I would have drafted him number one overall in rookie dynasty rookie drafts. Yep.
So, in the last 5 years, Caleb Williams is probably the second best prospect coming out.
Yeah, I think that's
is that fair?
I mean, I think we've thought that since probably the first game we saw him play at USC. He just instantly looked like, oh my, this guy's got it.
Okay, cool. Right on. Let's move on then. So the next guy on the list, MHJ, I don't want to sit and throw superlatives out because that's going to happen on every podcast we listen to. We know that this is at least the best prospect to come out since Calvin Williams. Right, I don't think anybody thinks he's Calvin Williams. He's physically
Calvin Johnson.
Nobody. That's what I said.
yeah,
Calvin Johnson. Physically nobody. Nobody was Megatron. That is the Philly accent, by the way. Nobody's Megatron, but anyway, we just know how good MHJ is. My question to both you guys is, who's one and who's two out of Caleb and MHJ for you in rookie and drafts right now?
Dynasty rookie drafts. Yeah.
It's Caleb for me. I'm picking a quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, it's Marvin Harrison for me at the moment.
Okay. Because I've considered it too, and I'm not really sure where I'm at yet.
It's obviously landing spot dependent more for Marvin Harrison, because, you know, it's kind of easy to tell where Caleb's going at this point. I mean, I guess we all assume the Bears are going to stay put and pick him. I think that's going to happen. I don't give much credence to them trading that pick, but as far as Marvin Harrison, if he goes to the Cardinals, he's the number one pick for me. I'm picking him.
Yeah.
What if he goes to the Pats?
Yeah, then it's a tougher question, and I probably would lean Caleb.
Okay,
but that also depends on where they go with quarterback too, if what they do there in New England. So there's a lot of moving parts, but I would just say right now in a vacuum for me, probably Marvin Harrison. I think it's a lot harder to get him than it's going to be a lot harder to get him than probably any quarterback in that top six range outside of Allen and maybe Mahomes.
Did Bill O'Brien get fired? Or is he still the offensive coordinator in New England?
I think he's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, I haven't heard.
I haven't heard anything about him getting fired. Yeah,
from Mayo, I haven't heard any offensive changes.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't really think. It's an interesting thought. So the New England, I guess New England's sort of faced with the same decision we would be faced with, not with Caleb, but quarterback or wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like the floor for Marvin Harrison is so high, and then the ceiling is so high. It's like, do you take this can't miss wide receiver that you know you're going to get all this huge value out of and be part of your team for years and years, or do you take the chance on a quarterback?
Yeah.
With a rookie quarterback, you're taking a huge chance no matter what.
Yeah. You're doing the same with the receiver. I don't agree with that. Okay. I've seen these can't miss wide receiver prospects come out and miss. Corey Davis, dude, 101 that year. He's not MHJ level. That's not my point of the statement. But rookie drafts, he was 101. Clear cut. Dude was a stud. Top five pick in the NFL kind of thing. Like, stud. And never hit. So, I don't think that's a for sure you're going to get this guy and he's going to be your wide receiver one on your team no matter what. I think it's likely, but I also think Caleb's likely going to be a good fantasy quarterback and give me the position that's a lot harder to trade for than it is wide receiver. That's kind of my argument on it.
Corey Davis wasn't anywhere near the level of prospect that we're talking about here.
I'm not saying that, but he was 101 in fantasy drafts.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't make – I mean maybe because I have such a bad opinion of fantasy players' opinions in general on the order in which they decide players should go. But, I just don't put any credence in. I think Marvin Harrison is just one of those players. The same with Caleb where – you know, they're just in another stratosphere. And Marvin Harrison, for me, even more so. I think you have to go back a very, very, very long time to find a wide receiver like Marvin Harrison. A very, very long time. I don't see another one coming out like that. The only thing that does push him down a little bit for me in my head is that the wide receiver class is so strong. But then again, you could say that about the quarterback class. So, I don't know. Do I want Marvin Harrison? And if I have a pick later in the first or in the early second, do I want Caleb Williams in the early first and then in the early second, or if I have a mid to late first again, grab one of the wide receivers? Maybe that's a case to be made there. But, I just think Marvin Harrison's a special, special player.
Yeah, I just want to say I don't disagree with any of your statement. This was more philosophy based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I agree that the argument's totally fair. I'm almost always going to side with the quarterback if they're on the same tier of prospect.
I haven't made up my mind yet. This is all like I'm playing devil's advocate on all of this. Every wide receiver drafted in the top 10 in history. I'm struggling to remember a recent bust that was actually drafted in the top 10 wide receiver in the NFL draft. And this guy's going to go top five. I mean,
it's not even really about where he's going in the NFL draft. It's about what he is. Like, I mean, you can say, a player went top 10, but a top 10 player doesn't mean anything compared to another year, right? It's about what is this particular player, and compared to every other wide receiver that's been out, as a prospect in the last, I mean, since I've probably been alive, there's just not many that you can put up with him. And that's just it. I mean, he's just different. And I think he's going to be incredible. I think Marvin Harrison's going to be incredible.
AJ Green, Julio Jones, Tavon Austin. Wow. Number 8, Justin Blackman.
That was a name that came to my head, but I couldn't remember where he was drafted. God, he was so good in college.
Nine. Did he go to Coastal?
Or am I thinking Oklahoma State?
Oh, okay. Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Kevin White. I wasn't sure if he went that high or not.
Yeah, he went seventh. Great Evans
was drafted fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, but Corey Davis was also a lot of people considered that a reach on Tennessee's part there at five.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Mike Williams, John Ross.
Yeah, that was another one a lot of people thought was a reach.
Sure, that was insane. That was a ridiculous pick by them. I don't. I guess that opens my eyes a little bit more. There definitely have been some busts, but anyway, I think that the debate's real, and I'm going to have it with myself all the way up into the rookie drafts. I think.
Yeah, I don't have any 101, so I don't have to make the decision. But
I think the really interesting one is if you've been hoarding picks for this class, which I know a lot of people have. I think the real debate for me, and I'm in this scenario in a couple of leagues. That's why it's so prominent in my head right now, but. If you have the 101 and you have the 103 or 104, then what do you do? Because you have some really, really good wide receivers in that we'll talk about soon in Rome and Neighbors. And then you have also just some other quarterbacks that could be really good players like Drake May and Jaden Daniels. So do you go for the extremely talented, prolific quarterback or the extremely talented, prolific wide receiver and then gamble on the other position a few spots later? I think that's
that's so easy for me. I go wide receiver. I go with MHJ, and then because quarterback's already a gamble, so I'll take Drake May or Daniels, whoever's there. I don't care. Right now, I have those guys pretty dead.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
All right, let's talk about Drake May then. What do you know about Drake May, Chad?
I mean, Drake May is another really good player. I wish he had a better season this last season. You know, I spoke about him as really, really having an opportunity to give Caleb a run for his money this year. That's how, we were talking about that last offseason. I really, really like Drake May. And it hurts me to say that because, you know, North Carolina, I can't stand him. He's a really good player. He's a multifaceted player, a lot like Caleb Williams, in that there's just a lot of aspects to his game that he's good at. But, man, he just missed some passes this year that he had no business missing. And he did lose a lot of players, which hurt him. I was expecting a lot better from him. I still think he's a really good player. And the comp that's always thrown around with him is Justin Herbert. And it is a little lazy, but it also just makes so much sense. And not just, like, you know, who they are as players, but also – what their college career kind of looked like, especially towards the end of it. So,
is he your third player right now in rookie drafts?
Yeah, easily my third. But it's tough because Jaden Daniels, I mean, if he goes to a team that's really going to use him well, he could be a force in Dynasty. And I could see myself taking more Jaden Daniels there, but that's going to be landing spot dependent for me as well.
What do you think, Austin?
I liked a lot of what Chad said. Actually, my lazy comp was also Herbert. I guess it makes sense watching him play, but
How about John Elway?
I'll be completely honest. I didn't watch enough of him.
That's who Herbert
before my time. But sure. Watching the receiver that we'll speak on at some point on Carolina. May did miss a lot of throws, stuff that I would have expected him to make, especially the 25-yard plus throws. Now, I will say he was getting hit a lot, but welcome to the NFL. Uber talented arm, again, mobile. The offense didn't really let me see what I thought for the NFL processing wise. It was a lot of half-field reads and, hey, you're throwing to these two guys or run. So I don't really have much of a thought on that, but exciting prospect. His 2022 tape was electric. So if he goes to the right system, I mean, it could be a you know, Herbert kind of rise in fantasy.
So what do you think of him compared to Daniels?
I'll take May considerably, and it's just because of the risk that comes with Daniels. For fantasy, it obviously makes it closer with the legs, but I need to see the actual draft capital. This time last year, or year before last, we were talking about Malik Willis, first round, this and that, and this is kind of feels the same way. So I want to see it before it actually happens. And if he gets that top 10 draft capital, then we'll discuss where he needs to be in fantasy.
They're not similar.
I'm not saying that at all, but I'm talking about the pre-draft hype. They're not at all similar.
Yeah.
We also saw this with A-Rich last year, so it, you know.
I think with we're not on Jaden Daniels yet, but
we are.
Yeah, let's go.
Are we on Jaden? Okay, cool. So Jaden Daniels, just the season he had was really hard to ignore. I mean, there was nobody talking about Jaden. I mean, it was almost like Joe Burrow. You remember when Joe Burrow was before he was Joe Burrow, and everybody was just never heard of him. And he just came out of nowhere, and Jaden Daniels had that same kind of rise just out of nowhere. I don't know what's going on with the water at LSU, but Jaden Daniels took a sip and became a guy. And man, I think he's going to be a good player if he ends up in the right spot. My only fear is that if he ends up with a really, really poor supporting cast, I think it could probably get ugly. Which is what my thought was with Justin Fields. But I'm hoping that maybe Jaden Daniels has a little bit more understanding of playing with a poor environment, because he has in the past, but he just wasn't nearly as good when he was doing that. So, which is understandable, but you're also just banking on that 1 year at LSU being a rather than it being an outlier, being the measurement to measure him by going forward. So there's a lot to think about with him. I still have Drake May ahead of him, but I really like Jaden Daniels, and I wouldn't argue with anybody that has him above Drake May at this point, just based off of last year's season.
Yeah.
So he basically was Malik Willis this time last year, right? Fourth, fifth round pick.
Yeah. He was. I mean, probably later than that. Even. I mean, there was. I wouldn't even be surprised if he went undrafted if he had the same kind of season he was having before this last one. So
yeah.
So, I guess the way it could be shaping up, there's so long to go here. Trades could be made, minds could be changed. But let's just say the Commandos go with Drake May, and then the Patriots take Daniels. It's great draft capital, but it's a horrible landing spot, isn't it? Isn't that the situation we're worried about? Defensive head coach, no weapons, not really good offensive line, and Bill O'Brien? Is that what we think is going to be successful for him?
It's not where I want him to go to Atlanta if Fields doesn't.
Yeah.
That's where I want him to go, because I think that's the kind of system with the weapons he needs. But New England feels nasty. But anybody that goes there quarterback-wise, I'm going to be like, ugh, until I see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That being said, we said the same thing about Houston last year, so I'm trying not to be too situation-dependent.
Yep.
I didn't hate the situation there. I like D'Amico Ryans, though. I think that he's a great leader. And
yeah, but that's always a coin flip, though. You never know with those guys.
Absolutely.
Coming in, well, especially player coaches or the guys that used to be players. That flops so many times.
Sure. I didn't know who Bobby Slowick was this time last year. So,
yeah.
I was definitely being optimistic. For sure.
Yeah.
I also liked Frank Reich. I thought that was going to be a great situation. Really liked that.
Yeah, if I didn't like Mechie and Dell so much, I would have been a lot more pessimistic about the Texans than I was. But I thought that receiver group was good. I didn't think they were going to be this good. I also didn't care about Nico Collins. So
I've always been very high on Nico Collins. As you guys know.
I was very, very much not. And that was a mistake. But anyways. Yeah, there's always a chance for that to happen. I think the Patriots do have some you know, some good players. I don't think that they're completely devoid of talent. I don't think they're the Panthers, you know. So, not so sad.
I mean, yeah. I like Ramondre a little. So, this would basically conclude our quarterback discussion because I don't have any other quarterbacks on the list. So, my question is, am I missing anybody that could go in the first round that you guys would like to discuss? You know, just sort of a off the cuff question. Like, he's not on our list, but is there anybody, do you believe in Bo Nix or Penix?
I mean, it's not about believing in him, but there's three other guys that could definitely go in the in the first round. And that's NFL like drafts any and dynasty dynasty rookie drafts, and that's, you know, McCarthy, Penix and Nix, like you were saying.
Bo Nix. So, his name is Penix.
Yeah, I'll call him Bo, but
that's Bo Nix. We have Nix and Penix.
But yeah, I kind of like Penix. I know that the the last time out wasn't a great showing. Yeah, it wasn't very pretty. It wasn't. But you know, JJ McCarthy didn't look great either. I don't know. I like
him, I will be dead and buried before I take Bo Nix in the first round of a rookie draft. Austin, what do you think about that?
I'll be right beside you.
if they get draft capital, I'll take
it. You always have draft capital. Yeah. He always has, so, and it works more times than not. I've watched him in leagues take the Daniel Jones and the Herberts and the Hurts, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you're like, damn, he's got all these quarterbacks that were cheap. So he does it, and it does work. I'll give it to him.
Has it worked for Pickett or Mac Jones?
But it did work for Pickett and Mac at one time. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you can always get rid of them. It's not about it working forever. It's about working at some point.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I saw the writing on the wall and got out of all my Mac Jones, except I did get him for a late third last year in season. I thought that was sort of like I kind of had to just in case he somehow keeps a job. But Pickett, you better get rid of your damn Pickett shares pretty soon. You get it first for Pickett, like a late first where you took him.
People are very easy to forget. There was definitely a time where you were getting a mid first plus for Mac Jones.
Yep.
I mean, that time was a year ago.
After his rookie year. And Pickett was last offseason. The hype was there, and you could get a first in 2 seconds.
Yep.
And then week one happened, and all of a sudden, it's been downhill since.
Yeah. You don't gotta believe in these guys. You just gotta remember that you don't believe in them. That's the problem. sometimes people say I don't believe in this guy, and then they forget they don't believe in him, and they hold them too long.
I have a Pickett share too that I haven't gotten rid of. They're just thinking that he'll be my third quarterback or whatever. And probably should have gotten out of him sooner. Now that it's Art Smith, I don't know where the upside's gonna be. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Although, I mean, I guess.
I like it, to be honest with you.
He was good. I mean, Tannehill was good for a while. He's a good, you know, solid high-end quarterback too, and super flex for a while under Art Smith, right?
He was a QB1 for a while.
Low end, right?
I think so. I don't know. He was pretty damn good for a while. But I kind of like Arthur Smith. I think that's something that can save Pickett if they hold on to him. My worry is they go try to get somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
This offseason? I don't think so. They've already come out and said that they're going to re-sign Mason Rudolph and give him some competition with him. And it's going to be a training camp battle between Pickett and Mason Rudolph. Literally, the owner came out and said it.
All right, let's talk about something fun because that's disgusting.
All right. Let's just say I don't believe in any of these other quarterbacks. If they make their way, if they prove themselves in some way during this offseason and make their way into the discussion, great. But as of right now, no. I don't believe that they're first-round quarterbacks.
I'll be selecting every and all of them as long as they get draft capital. Doesn't matter.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right now, I don't believe any of them will, but I could be proven wrong. All right. So fifth up on the list is Malik Nabers. So let's do Nabers and Adunze together. Which one would you rather have, Chad?
Rome.
Austin.
For fantasy, Malik Nabers.
It's literally, they're neck and neck for me. It's literally going to come down to landing spot. Whichever landing spot I like better is the one I like better in rookie drafts.
NFL receiver, probably Rome. That dude's just plain old good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for fantasy, Malik has the higher ceiling.
Explosive player in the draft.
Yeah.
I think Rome has a chance to be like really, really good. I really like Rome Odunze. I've been talking about him for a while. Rome is just a guy that I think he's a special player. Like, I think he's really, really good. I would be surprised if he doesn't go in I would be shocked if he doesn't go in the top 10. I just think he's absolutely incredible.
What would you say his best trade is?
I would think just for his size, he's capable of doing anything, in my opinion. Like, I think it's shocking how athletic he is for his size and the way that he's able to manipulate his positioning. I just think he's going to be a good all around player. I don't see him as a player like, I think he's a player that can be moved around anywhere on the field and get the job done, no matter what you ask.
That has been.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So,
size speed ratio, fluidity, like hip fluidity, his route running, the technical aspect of his game is really, really good. Excellent hands, really strong and physical. There's nothing that I don't like about him so far. We'll see. I mean, the speed, I think, will be I don't know if he's going to run sub 4.4, but like neither did Jordan Addison.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah, he doesn't have to. That's the thing.
If he runs 4.45, I'm great.
He's going to test well, though. He's going to test really well.
He's an excellent, like I said, excellent fluid athlete. Like, he just looks so smooth and everything looks so easy. And
I got a
man playing with kids.
Yeah, I got an odd comp question that what y'all think about. I watched, I think, 5 games of him, partly because of another player, and he just kept catching my attention. What do you think about prime Steve Smith? Obviously, he's taller, but I watched a lot of Steve Smith growing up, and they just remind me how they play. It just seems like this is my ball at any moment. It's mine. And like,
he's that angry?
No, he doesn't have to. Not the after the play, during the play.
Okay.
Not post play. No, I don't think he's trying to fight
anybody. Steve Smith played with anger too. That was part of his whole thing, my ball.
Yeah.
Like,
but I felt like Rome does the same. When the ball's in the air, it's like, it's mine. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the personality, maybe not, but it's just, man, when that ball's in the air, every time I watched, I was like, oh, he's going to catch this one. And it felt like 9 times out of 10 he did. And it just reminded me, like I said, I watched a lot growing up, and it just, one of the first players I've watched, I'm like, damn, that kind of reminds me of Steve Smith. It always felt like he was going to catch it.
It kind of reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald coming out.
True. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Another player that I thought had it all. Yep. And just was obvious to me that he was going to be a great wide receiver coming out.
God, he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. I've
actually seen interviews with Rome, and I just also think that he's a smart, seemed smart, thoughtful, well-spoken, just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to waste it.
Yeah, that's I think one of the more impressive things about him too, is you listen to him talk and you listen to just his story and everything. And he seems like a guy that is like got his head on his shoulders in the right way. He seems like a really good kid, which is always nice to see, because half the time it's not even about the talent. It's about, you know, what they do once they get there. It seems like always has a chance of going the other way, but it seems like he's going to do all the right things when he gets there.
One of the things that's also so impressive about Marvin Harrison as well. I mean, that's how his father was.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
The way those guys go about their business. Very impressive.
So what about Neighbors then? Because we kind of just went all Odunze there.
Well, so he's going to, I don't think he's going to be the fastest wide receiver, but at his size, he's going to run probably sub 4.4. He's just lightning with acceleration. And like, you can't even get your hands on him getting off the line. Like, it's really hard to guard a guy with that size of physicality and speed. That can already run the routes that he runs, and with those hands.
The hands are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I was watching the guy we're going to talk about soon, and I just kept going over to Neighbors, and like, you'd see the play, and it's like, yo, how did you catch that? What?
Don't slander my boy in the process, though.
I'm probably going to.
Do not. Anyway. Yeah, Malik Neighbors is just... I'm struggling to remember a player that fast at his size that just looked this good. Usually it's like, oh, that guy's so big for his size. I mean, so fast for his size. Malik Neighbors is just so fast. I mean,
that he has it instantly too. It's not one of those build up speeds. He's got it off the release.
The acceleration is just instant.
Yeah.
I think Troy Franklin will run a better 40, but he's not, you know, nearly the receiver.
No.
You know, there might be another receiver or two. There's always a couple of guys that run really fast 40s. Yeah,
Worthy's going to be up there as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Xavier Worthy as well, if he's healthy for the combine.
Neighbors is just one of those guys where you're like, man, get the ball in his hand just any way you can. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, 5 yards, ahead of the line of scrimmage, 40 yards down the field. Just get the ball in his hands, and he's going to make something happen. So, yeah, good player.
He's one of those athletes that once the ball is in his hands, he's like in control. Mm-hmm. You know, he uses his speed in bursts and doesn't just – it's like – kind of, you saw Gibbs do this a lot in college, just vary the speed to sort of just fuck with defenders till they decide what they're going to do. Lamar does it a lot. Kyler's very much like that. Mahomes is like that a bit. Just somebody that's so in control with their own athleticism, speed, and ability that they can just sort of fuck with the other team and set them up, you know, sort of like James Harden in his prime.
I like it.
So yeah, that's what I see out of Neighbors. These guys to me are outside of the risks of the quarterbacks that we just talked about. These wide receivers as top three, they're just kind of can't miss. They're as good a wide receivers as we've seen in years.
Before we move on from them, where do you see where do you see those two guys landing? And do you think it's going to be good, or do you think it's going to be a negative?
Yeah, I think one's going to go to the Chargers, and it's going to send his career to the moon.
Yeah.
I don't think either one's going to the Chargers.
What do you think? They'll take Bowers?
The next guy we talk about, yeah.
Which we'll I'm see. Also just as happy about that. But
yeah,
for Bowers, sure. But, I mean, I just think the wide receivers, the wide receiver one is just so what they need.
And they really
are. But I think, for me, I think there's a strong possibility they try to keep Keenan Allen, and then they take this guy, Brock Bowers, and then try to get, because this is a really deep wide receiver class, try to get another wide receiver later in the draft. Because there's not another guy close to Brock Bowers in this class.
That's fair.
Right.
Let's say they go to Tennessee and the Giants then. Let's say one of each, the next two picks, 6 and 7.
Yeah, it's a good chance Neighbors goes to the Giants, I think. It's perfect fit for Daboll and Daniel Jones. I think it'd be great for that offense. Really, I think Neighbors need to is
yeah, Neighbors
is wide receiver
for the,
one
for the Giants. Yeah, but
I really do. You think that's room,
but
do you think that's fool's gold, or you know, should you take one of the two amazing offensive tackles that would be available and sort of give up on Evan?
They're not, they're not taking a they're tackle. Not. No,
they're not gonna. They're gonna roll with that tackle. They
they're gonna
last
run
year
with
again.
Evan Neal.
Tennessee
yeah,
might.
Yeah, Tennessee might. Yep. I think I really think that Arizona is gonna go wide receiver. So I think it's gonna be Arizona and the Giants. But I think there's also it's gonna really depend on what happens with New England, if New England ends up going quarterback,
I really think quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
when all said and done, and then MHJ goes to the Cardinals.
The problem is Justin Fields. That's the really the problem is if Justin Fields finds his way to New England, then you know that's the only like. The only block that hasn't fallen yet, and why? What would make me question New England's pick there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's not just Justin Fields either. It also could be Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know what would attract Cousins to New England other than
or
money
Russ.
Or Russ.
Yeah,
that is just so black. Russ to Juju.
Mac Jones.
I don't know.
Russ was pretty good, actually. I think Russ on like the Falcons or something would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Russ on the Falcons would be fun. I don't know, man. Just free him from Sean Payton and that mess there. Anyway, let's stay on track. Let's move on to Bowers then. I guess the question is, we know he's just an awesome tight end. We know he's a receiver playing tight end. He's like a big ass receiver playing tight end. Mm-hmm. Great hands. I'm going to take this one. I'm going to tell you what I know. Great hands. He can also block. And that's the thing that spooks me a little bit with him in fantasy. Yeah, he'll get him on the field. But doesn't it annoy the shit out of you when Kittle has a blocking game? You know, he's just not out there running routes. And don't you think that's going to happen with Bowers?
Yeah.
Depends on where he goes, I guess. But not really. It doesn't bother me at all.
No, it doesn't bother me either. Because it just means that he's staying on the field, which is great. Yep. You know, which the alternative to that is them saying, you know what, let's get this guy out of the game on running downs. Yeah. And that's right. Not good. So because that just opens the door for another tight end to get reps.
Yeah, that was Kmet early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Compare him to Pitts.
Better prospect.
Receiving wise?
That's closer.
He's not a better athlete.
He's pretty
close. Pitts is a better I think Pitts was the better prospect. I don't know. That's pretty close.
Yeah, I agree with that. But close. I think Bowers is a better blocker. So
yeah, I think
as
I think,
a tight end prospect, yeah. I'll take Bowers. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say Bowers is probably the better all around player. But as far as if they both went in the same class, I think just the way the game is played and the way people think of tight ends and wanting that kind of elite receiver, I still think Pitts would go ahead of him in the NFL draft.
Totally fair.
Yeah, Bowers is awesome.
Compare him to Hawk as a prospect.
Much better.
Hawk was a big-time prospect, first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean.
Different tier. I honestly think Bowers is as good of a receiver as the two receivers we just spoke about.
Really?
Yes. And he's playing a different position. Great routes.
In a different
excellent
way.
Hands. I mean, not really. He doesn't have the sheer speed.
Right.
But he gets open just as easily, does just as good in his zone concepts, can beat anybody that guards him. hands are phenomenal. He's just, to me, he's just as good a receiving prospect as the two guys we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Loving my two Debbie shares at the moment, then. All right. That's our Elite Seven. Right, the way I look at it, this is the Super Seven. These are the, this to me, this is sort of where there's a cutoff, a huge cutoff.
I agree.
Right. After this, it's a bunch of, man, I need to see a lot more of these guys.
Mm.
But my favorite in that group is wide receiver Brian Thomas.
Junior.
Chad, what do you know about Brian Thomas? Not you, Austin.
Yeah, I mean, so actually, you go first. You go first, Austin, because I want to hear the. I want to hear the.
Let me pull up the notes.
Because I have Brian Thomas behind the guy, behind a guy that I know Jesse doesn't agree with. I know Jesse's very, very high on him. But yeah.
So
guy, I don't think I'm low on anybody yet.
I watch four games. Obviously the speed is there. Goodness gracious, the speed is there. He's good with the ball in his hands. Similar how you said with Neighbors, he's kind of under control. I felt similar with that, especially on those like intermediate routes, which you didn't see a lot of. But when he caught the ball at like 10-yard catch, he kind of felt, it looked like he knew what he was doing. He was a willing blocker, which is an important thing for me as a receiver. I like seeing people that are at least will try to block. And the negative start. Maybe not his fault, but the route tree is terrible.
That's not his fault at all.
I think
maybe it's just not. Because he.
I watch Neighbors on the same offense show me every route in the book and do it phenomenally.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. So that is a fair criticism. Can I defend that one?
Well, let me finish my first one, and then you can kill me.
Can I just interject real quick? Okay. So I'm right. I was. That's why I wanted to hear what you said first, because I have the same exact criticism. A lot of times when you see a wide receiver that doesn't run a extensive route tree, it's because of the offense that they're in. It's not because the offense they're in. It's because they don't believe he can do it. That's the reason he's not doing it, because Neighbors is doing it on the other side of him.
But let me ask you this, since both of you guys brought up the same point, and I saw that too, just a lack of an intermediate game. It's really hard to find on tape.
Hitch, right? Half-ass slant, and go. Mm-hmm. That was all he had.
It's the same ones. It's the same routes. That's the problem.
But also, well, which he runs all three at elite levels.
Slant is not elite. It was not. His slant is lackadaisical.
Okay, I'm sorry, the two.
But I mean, the acceleration.
But it's also
open on the slants.
He's also, I don't want to say elite, but damn good around the line of scrimmage.
He does have a nice release.
They threw a lot of bubble screens to him, and he's got really nice vision. And once the ball's in his hands, he's an excellent yak kind of guy.
It's the first thing. Right? First positive I wrote. Was yak.
So what my question is, with his deep ball ability and his around the line of scrimmage, get the ball in his hands kind of on end arounds and bubble screens and stuff like that, with having both of those in his bag of tricks, does that get him on the field enough and score you enough fantasy points until he develops the rest of his game to put him in the conversation to be a first round rookie? That's kind of like my question.
Depends on where he goes for me. Okay. If he goes to an offense that I believe that they can utilize him like that early on, sure. But
we're talking about first round rookie. He's definitely a first round rookie.
Yeah.
Like not even.
I mean, to go 108 is where. Like,
I mean, he could go top like 12 in the draft. I mean, he's a good player.
Really? You think that high, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely go that high.
Let me hear the rest of your negatives, Austin.
My biggest negative is I saw zero separation on man-to-man routes that didn't involve him going deep.
It's kind of the same thing.
After, yeah. What do you mean?
It's got the intermediate game.
Yeah, sure, but it was just glue, man. Like, dude, the corners are running his routes for him.
He's not finding technical separation. He's finding athletic separation. It's that like really late, like when you see him run a go, and just out of nowhere he just gets like some separation that wasn't there like a millisecond beforehand. It's because he has this like late gear that just kicks in that nobody else has. But he hasn't put that into anywhere else in his game, where he's able to get separation just on a technical level, getting in and out of breaks and just, you know, finding space. I think he's going to be a really good player. I think he's going to get really good draft capital. I think the NFL is going to absolutely love him. And he's going to be a top. I think he has a chance to be a top six, top seven, like dynasty consensus rookie pick. I think he's going to go pretty high, to be honest with you. I don't like him that much.
Guys that we just talked about.
I can see him going higher than Brock Bowers in 1.25 or standard format for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's fair. And the last thing I had is, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's not to say that I like, that's what I think. I he's not even my next wide receiver. So, but I just think that's what's going to happen.
Okay. The last thing I had is I didn't see hardly any good contested catches, which was there because he didn't create any separation except for on the deep ball. And I felt like he dropped most of the contested deep balls that I saw. If he had a yard of separation, I feel like he caught every one of them. But when the corner was still there, I felt like there was only two or three I saw that he brought down, and most of the other ones were smacked out of bounds.
I'll have to disagree. I have to go back and find the exact plays and send them to you if I can. But there's some end zone stuff with him.
Okay.
Contested catch end zone, which was actually the other thing that I thought would bring him some fantasy relevance as well early on in his career. There were definitely some go-get-em, like fades and contested catch stuff in the end zone that I really liked out of him.
Okay. Yeah, send them to me because I watched
Dot in the Eye with the feet and stuff like that. So okay. Looked really good.
I watched Bama, Florida, Florida State, and I didn't write the last name, but whatever, one other game. So yeah, if you can show me the plays, I'd like to see.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what games they were, but I'll go back and. And take a look and see if I can send those to you. All right. Anything else on Brian Thomas? It's a guy that I really, really like. Yeah, obviously, there are definitely flaws to him. That's why I think he's a huge tier drop. I mean, athletically, I think he's every bit as gifted as some of these other guys above him. He's just, I think Chad said it, like he's not technically as sound nearly as the other guys.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so next on the list is – so now I kind of like Brian Franklin a lot. I mean, Brian Thomas a lot. Troy Franklin's next. But the rest of these guys here, there's a big, big, huge tier. So, like, just the fact that we might be talking about Keon Coleman, you know, in 9 picks doesn't mean I don't like him. It means I remembered to put him on the list then.
Keon Coleman's my wide receiver 4.
Is he? Let's do. We're not allowed to go out of order.
Yeah, remember we got to go in order.
Troy Franklin. Then, what do you guys know about Troy Franklin?
Burner baby.
I haven't watched that much of him. To be honest, I watched a little bit of Oregon, but I didn't focus on Troy Franklin a ton. It wasn't super impressive, to be honest. So I'll just wait.
Austin?
In the right offense, which is going to be any of these guys we speak on for the next 20 pick or the next 30 picks, he's electric. Super ridiculous speed. I enjoyed his releases. Similar to Brian Thomas. See, that's one I did forget. Good release package.
Yep.
Troy Franklin also has a good release package. I like the contested catches. Pretty good on intermediate. I liked his top of the route separation, which again, I thought it actually was a little bit more technically sound than some of the other guys I watched at that 10 to 20 yard route maneuvers. Not really any drop issues that I had. There really was. I didn't have.
I've just seen limited play, but I've seen him drop multiple passes on limited play. So I don't know if that's
what I saw. He's got some drops on tape. I'll say that.
Okay. Again, games I checked the drop percentage. Sure. It was lower than most of the guys in the class. So,
okay.
I don't know. I came away happy. He was a fun player, super fast. Again, right offense. It's the perfect player.
There's something about him that reminds me of sort of like the Devontae. He's somewhere between Devontae Smith and Waddle, but not quite as good as either one of them.
Mm.
Right? He's faster than Devontae. He's a little bit more technically sound than Waddle, but really not as good at either of those traits as either one of those guys, right? He's not as fast as Waddle, and he's not nearly the technician of Devontae, but he's sort of somewhere in that class to me.
Yeah, that seems fair. It's kind of how I looked at it.
I could squint and I guess what I'm saying is he reminds me of a really good Z receiver, right? He's a flanker.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely not your classic X because he doesn't have the size or the physicality, but he can get off press. So he can play on the outside. You can move him around the formation. And if you play him in the slot or inside, he can definitely be like a speed threat.
Mm-hmm.
Like a speed slot, and I think would be really successful at that. Pretty good route runner. I don't think he's elite by any means, but yeah, if you get him in the right offense, like obviously he'd be amazing on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but that's who they need.
Yeah, that's exactly what that's the type of receiver that would really thrive, like you know, in the MVS role in that offense. Or, you know, which they rotate MVS and Justin Watson. If they put him in that role with Rashee Rice, can play boundary and a lot of slot, you can move him around. That would be really good. Conversely, if you put him on the Patriots, I don't know how successful he'll be if he's really the only guy that you have to worry about. That's kind of how I see Troy Franklin. He's definitely not going to command an offense. But as a complimentary piece, I think he could be an excellent player.
I can't wait to watch more on him. You know, one of the first – I mean, I haven't watched much Oregon because I just wasn't very excited about Bo Nix. So just didn't watch a lot of them. But
He was good for
when them. When I first started watching him, in the limited amount that I watched Oregon, he reminded me a lot of the one thing that I did like about Dotson. I like about him is just like they're so easy. It's just so effortless when they're running. Like nothing looks difficult about what they're doing.
Yeah, I can agree with
and
that.
And so I really like that aspect. Generally, I think when you see a player like that, where it just looks like it comes effortless to him, especially when they're kind of an awkward size, which he kind of seems to be, then I just kind of get a good feeling about those kind of players. They seem to do generally pretty well. And that's not saying much, but that's just from my limited watching. That's what I got out of it.
Nice. Okay. I think that's all we can really do with Troy Franklin right now. I think he's going to test very well.
Oh yeah,
he's potential first round pick in the NFL draft is what I'm saying.
I'm hoping he slides to 33, but I agree with you.
All right, 10th on the list. We got time for Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's save 11 for next week because I want to do the tape on him.
All right. So what do you know about Adonai Mitchell, Austin? Do you know how to say his name? Because I'm not sure. I
believe it's Adonai. I'm pretty sure.
Adonai. Okay. Right on.
Georgia product, went to Texas. Reminds me of just a prototypical X receiver. Doesn't have the elite speed, but makes up for it in every other aspect. The top of the route separation is, I don't want to say top tier because this class has some elite players, but it's up there. great at finding zone openings and sitting in them for the quarterback. I felt like time after time, you'd see Ewers throw it to him, and it'd just be, oh, right in the middle of the zone, perfect first down. Loves to block. I'm talking like Ames, just let me go find somebody to hit, which is a great – I just like seeing that when I watch receivers. Solid after the catch. Again, doesn't have the top speed, but does enough to get the wiggle and get the extra 3 or 4 yards. I thought he had good nuance in his routes, changing his speed, changing his direction from short and intermediate. And I enjoyed watching the body control with contested catches. I thought he did well turning his body where he needed when he needed. I was impressed, to be honest.
Yeah, Adonai's a fun player, but he does all of his work before the ball gets to him. That's the one negative I have is, you know, once the ball is in his hand, he's probably not going to do too much with it. But he's a fun player to watch, and yeah, big guy who's got some got some good routes, got good hands. He's got a lot of things going for him. I just think he's going to have to be with a good quarterback that's able to get the ball out to him on those deep and intermediate routes to see the best of him. If he's not, then yeah, I could see a pretty big lack of a production going his way in the NFL. But he's going to be a really cool X receiver if he ends up in the right spot. I like him.
You didn't think he did well enough creating in the short area? Obviously not any quarterback, but I felt like that 3 to 8 yard mark, I mean, he was always open. It didn't matter if he was running the end, the stop, the slant, whatever. He just created that, like, with the change of direction.
Yeah, no, that's going to be fine for him. I just think he does his best work when he's deeper down the field. And I just think, you know, in the NFL, in college, it seemed like for me, he struggled with the ball in his hand as far as, making things happen after the catch. And in the NFL, you want your best players after the catch to have the ball in their hand on the short and at the line of scrimmage routes.
That's fair.
And so I just don't think he's going to get that much opportunity there. They're not going to say, all right, we need to get you the ball, 12 times a game. I just don't see that for him in his future.
Classic X receiver. not a skill set that's really in vogue in the NFL these days. You don't see a lot of one-on-one outside coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, things change. Things trend all over the place. You see the Lions running a jumbo package with 6 offensive linemen for half of the NFC championship game until it really mattered. That's just an example of how things go back and forth. If you want to play too deep on us, fine, then we'll run it down your throat. So the X receiver absolutely could come back in vogue. And somebody like Adonai Mitchell is still useful. I'm not saying it's not like, he's not like the split wing or the veer offense or something like that. But I guess compare him to Drake London and T. Higgins for me.
Yeah.
Very similar.
That's what I see. That's what I see from him. I think he probably he's runs
useful
better.
Players in the right offense.
I think he probably runs better routes than T. Higgins did coming out. I would really like, just because I've already guessed that the Chargers are going Brock Bowers. If they did go Brock Bowers and then came back in the second round and got Mitchell, oh man.
That'd be a nice replacement for Mike Williams.
Yep, get rid of Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Brock Bowers, and line up Mitchell on the other side there. I think that's an ideal scenario for him.
You still have Josh Palmer for depth. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because Keenan Allen really is going to play slot, so Josh Palmer is really your other outside receiver.
And I think like Austin was saying, he can do other things. It's just, I think in the NFL, you want everybody has a good playmaker. And if you're not a playmaker, you don't really want the ball in their hands 10, 12 times a game, So just schematically. So not saying he can't do it. It's just there's always more than likely there's going to be somebody on the team better than he is at that.
Yeah. He kind of reminded me of Pickens, which isn't trying to be a knock, but like Pickens coming out of college. Pickens coming out of college, they reminded me of each other.
Pickens is an excellent player. Guys like that can succeed as long as they have the speed.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just a go up and contested catch guy and can't really get separation, they're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Evans, I guess, is the best out of all of those players that I've seen.
One of the best ever to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even he has effed up hands, though. All right. So last question, I guess. Rank the last three players we talked about. Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, Adonai Mitchell.
Franklin, Mitchell, Thomas. But really, it's let me see where they land and what the NFL believes, and yeah, I'll adjust from there.
But Thomas, just pure Mitchell, skill and who you think will score you the most points in fantasy.
Yeah. Thomas, Mitchell, Franklin for me.
Thomas, Mitchell, Franklin. And I had Thomas, Franklin, Mitchell. So we answered that question three different ways. Awesome. Love it. All right, guys. This is so much fun. Man, did I need this. I found myself arguing about the AFC championship game in the Patreon chat for no reason, because I don't have you guys. I don't have you assholes to argue with.
you were going on that rant.
I just, you know, I will say this.
And I was why are we talking about this? While
there I know, I realized, I was being stupid. I just think the narrative on Lamar is a little skewed, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say there's two more receivers that belong in that discussion. Like for sure.
Okay, no,
There's one receiver that's ahead of them.
Yeah, Keon Coleman.
I can't wait to hear that one because I'm so mixed.
He's the guy I think he's the guy that I think is like not good at an adventure without this
being. Keon Coleman is my Tank Dell. I think I'm not gonna be surprised if he's a rookie of the year candidate. At the wide receiver position. I think he's a really, really good player. And I watched a lot of him because my sister went to Florida State, so I was forced.
I'm so torn on him. We'll discuss it next week, but I'm so torn on him.
He's so good. Right.
Who are the other guys for you, Austin?
My boy, Ladd.
Oh, Ladd McConkey. Oh, yes. Man, his tape is so much fun.
Oh, my gosh.
We should talk about it. Can't wait to see him at the combine, man. He's gonna be so.
Yeah,
he might be. You think he's fast enough to outrun Troy Franklin?
Short area, I don't think in the 40, but I think short area, yes. And the 20-yard shuttle will be ridiculous.
Who else?
So go ahead.
Go ahead. No. I was gonna see if you're gonna say the same name. So go ahead.
Worthy for me.
Yeah. That's the other one. Yeah. Such an interesting prospect because I think his best season was his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
Then he kind of like went down his second year. And then this year he was like just pretty good. So I don't know what to take of that, but the drops got better. That was my biggest concern, but it's going to be, he's very interesting and stupid fast.
The drops. I mean, we're not doing Worthy right now, but the drops, that you heard that they came out and said he was playing with a broken hand, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
That actually did a lot for his stock in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. To play all season with a broken hand and say nothing. I mean, that's one thing.
I think Worthy's going to go ahead of Mitchell. And I watch a lot.
Yes.
I'm in Austin.
I agree.
So,
I agree.
But I think Worthy's going to go ahead of Mitchell. I think it's going to go for me, the order that I have it personally, and I think is probably going to line up with the NFL, you know, is going to be Marvin Harrison, Adunze, Neighbors. But those two can be flipped, 2 and 3. I mean, it's going to be whoever likes that prototype. And then it's going to be between I have Coleman next, and then Worthy, and then Thomas. So.
Okay. Mm. Excellent. I also have Xavier Legette in that tier. I need to see a lot more of him. But he's intriguing. The traits intrigue me.
There's another guy that I'd take above him.
I wonder
in that tier.
Who are you?
That we haven't talked about.
Corley.
Oh.
I like the tape.
He's my number one candidate to be Rondell Moore.
Yeah,
he's going to be one of those players that people just really like the highlights of. And
D. Eskridge.
He's cool.
He's a guy on the Rams.
Tutu.
Yeah.
Tutu was fun.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I think Brian Thomas is going to go early. I think your guy is going to go as the fourth guy in the actual NFL draft. So I think it's going to push him up. But
yeah, when he tests, it's going to help for sure.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see Coleman's testing. I got a friend that went to Florida State as well. See, man, they said that they tested him and he was running in low 4.4s.
Really?
So
that would be crazy.
He went to Florida State, has a guy, his friend's a trainer for the school, and they were testing low 4.4s. So if I see anything close, me too. But if I see anything close to that, then yes, wide receiver 4 locked in.
He doesn't show it on tape. He doesn't play with the game. It's not a game.
He's a great. I mean, for his size, I can't think of many route runners his size that like have that much nuance. I think he's really good.
I'm gonna watch him more.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm gonna watch him more. He's definitely not a guy I've dug into. So by the time we talk next, I'm gonna be schooled on Keon Coleman.
He's a fun guy. He's a fun guy.
We haven't talked to any running backs. Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Forum, Trey Benson, Bucky Irving.
Yeah. I have Shipley, none in my top 12 currently.
Jonathan
Brooks. I'll tell you what, though. Jonathan Brooks might get there. I like Jonathan Brooks a lot.
If he's healthy, he's my one if he's healthy.
Yeah.
He's not gonna be at any combines or pro days, right?
Correct.
Correct.
I mean, that close to an ACL.
Yeah.
And so Braylon Allen. But yeah, Bucky Irving is kind of I just love watching that guy right now. Yeah. I just after watching actual all 22 of him, I went back and just started watching highlights. Just I got to see more.
The Notre Dame kid, what's his name?
Edric Ostome.
Yeah, Ostome. He's good too. I could see him getting some buzz closer to the
big track. Bruiser, right? Yeah, Brian Robinson type.
He's got good speed though.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to be an interesting guy, especially if he tests well with his size. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, there's a ton of interesting guys. Like we didn't have even said Trey Benson yet, and I think he could have an argument for RB1 too.
I did say Trey Benson.
Okay,
he's 13th. I have him right after Worthy.
I have him second as well, but I have him after Brooks versus my first.
Oh, I have Corum as my first, so this is going to be really fun.
I have Brooks at one as well, too, but health is so scary.
Yeah,
running back going in injured is so scary.
Yeah, right. It's funny. I had him as my one because I started watching his tape, and like I only watched the first couple games of the year, and I don't know. I started doing some other shit or whatever, and I didn't even realize for the first 2 months I heard of Jonathan Brooks that he tore his ACL. I read it. I was like, oh shit, when did that happen? Damn. And it was way after. So he kind of fooled me.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Chad, we're going to let you go see your kids. Chad hasn't seen his kids in a month.
It's been a year,
It's
been a year and a half, man.
Since he's seen his kids.
I'm glad you potted with us first in this priorities.
Yeah. Came back from my year and a half long hiatus, and the first thing I had to do was pod with you guys.
Right. All right, awesome. This is amazing. This is so much fun. So we just threw out a bunch of names that we were going to talk about in depth next week. If Mike can join us, he's going to be sort of the host because Mike doesn't really do rookie shit. So
it'll be Mike. A&M.
Except for Mike trade for top 5 picks. That's all he ever wants to do.
Yeah, and he does know A-Chain.
Yeah,
he knows A-Chain.
Well, he should know Anaya Smith, too, then. We're good.
Yeah. and get our nice fix from Mike.
Right on. All right, guys. Thanks for joining me. This is amazing. We'll do this again next week. Same time. Same channel, Chad. For Chad Mendoza and Austin Bell, I'm Jesse Schneeman, and we are out.
Peace.
Later.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
A game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.